The subject matter of the message will again be prayer. Before we read the text for the message, I want to turn to the book of Nehemiah. This isn't our text, but forms the idea or the thought for the text. In the book of Nehemiah, we see in chapter 1 that Nehemiah was greatly grieved because of the dishonor that had been done the Lord, and we read there in chapter 1 that he sat down and wept and mourned certain days and fasted and prayed before the God of heaven. Following his time of prayer, we see that he appeared before the king, and the king could see that Nehemiah was in anguish of soul, and he asked Nehemiah why he was so sad. And Nehemiah told the king that the reason he was in anguish was because of the destruction of Jerusalem, which led the king to ask another question. And we see that here in Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 4. Then the king said unto me, "For what dost thou make request? For what dost thou make request?" We want to apply that question to the subject of prayer. What the king was saying to Nehemiah was, "Ask what you want." And we see that Nehemiah, "So I prayed to the God of heaven, that God would give him wisdom as to what to ask. But for what dost thou make request?" Concerning prayer, that's a very searching question. What is it that we pray for? What is it that we make request for? If we had only one request, what would it be? What would it be? Most may answer that question by saying, "Well, it would depend when you ask that question." Well, it really shouldn't. It really shouldn't. What is it that we would ask for? Prayer is a good measuring stick of our spiritual health. The prominence that prayer has in our lives serves as a good measuring stick. How we pray serves as a gauge to our spiritual life. When we pray, that is, what is it that motivates us to pray? All of these things serve as a gauge to our spiritual condition. For what dost thou make request? Applying that question to the subject matter of prayer, we again have a gauge for our spirituality. The overall motivation, the overall content of our prayers serve as a test for our souls, reveal where we are. It is an index of our spiritual condition. What we pray for is a gauge of our spiritual appetites. It's a gauge of our hope. What motivates us to pray, and the content of those prayers, speaks volumes concerning what you and I value the most. I mean, examine our prayer lives, and we can see what it is that we value. What we pray for, the content of our prayer, speaks loud and clear of our goals. Speaks loud and clear of what we're committed to. What we delight in. What we strive after. Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 34, "For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh." You know, that's not only so concerning daily speech. That's so concerning prayer also. What we pray for says much about our spiritual condition. So the question that was put to Nehemiah was, "For what dost thou make request?" Applying that question to the subject matter of prayer, we have a gauge for our spiritual affections. The Bible teaches that our praying is to be for ourselves, is also to be for others. And the broadness and the extent of our prayer, how many people we pray for, the broadness of our prayer, again, is a good measure of our own spirituality. The Bible instructs us to be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer. Those words are quite extensive. Everything in prayer. You cannot measure those words. Everything by prayer. But that being said, what should be the chief theme of our prayers? And I believe that question is answered in many different ways throughout the Scriptures. The question receives its answer in Christ's instruction as to the manner of prayer there in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 6. As you read those petitions, only one, and it doesn't entirely, only one relates to the temporal. Only one. And again, and that is not entirely related to the temporal. Give us this day our daily bread. That's also spiritual. But it's the only request that has anything at all to do with the temporal. So what should be the chief theme of our prayers? The question receives its answer in the prayer that Christ offered up in John chapter 17. Read that prayer. What did Jesus pray for? Well, he prayed for the glory of God, verses 1 through 5. He prayed for the spiritual preservation of his people in verse 12. He prayed for their spiritual joy, verse 13. He prayed for their sanctification in verse 17. He prayed that they would be more unified with God in verse 21. He prayed that they would be perfect in verse 23. And then he prayed for their glorification in verse 24. The emphasis, just as it was in the Sermon on the Mount, the emphasis was upon the spiritual. When Jesus prayed, the emphasis was upon the spiritual. And we need to examine every aspect of our prayer life. We need to examine just how prominent prayer is in our lives. We need to examine how we pray. Do we get in a hurry? How do we pray? We need to examine that. We need to examine when we pray. Again, what is it that motivates us to pray? And then we need to examine for what most often do we pray? All of these things speak loud and clear where we are spiritually. In this message, we want to call upon ourselves to again examine our prayer life, but in particular to examine our overall and prevailing content and theme of our praying. The subject tonight is the emphasis of the spiritual in praying. We see it all through the Word of God. Again, Paul was a man of prayer. He had much to say upon the subject. But the most remarkable thing about Paul and praying was not so much what he said about prayer, but what he prayed for. As you read through the epistles of Paul, you see that there are many recorded prayers of Paul. And they're always about spiritual matters. Now, we're to pray about everything. We're to pray for our material needs. We're to pray for our bodily needs. But there ought to be an overall theme in our prayers. And that ought to be the spiritual. So tonight we want to observe one of these recorded prayers of Paul. And we want to notice the emphasis upon spiritual matters. And this should be so whether we are praying for ourselves or whether we are praying for others. The emphasis ought to be upon their spiritual condition, upon their spiritual health. I'd like to turn to Ephesians chapter 3, very familiar passage of Scripture. I'd like to read verses 14 through verse 21. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It goes back to verse 13, wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations, for which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. Request number one, to be strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. That introduces the second request. Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That introduces the third request, which is twofold. That ye being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with the saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. That introduces the fourth request. You might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church, by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. I believe that the things that Paul prayed for here, he prayed for earnestly. He prayed for fervently. They were the things that he desired for himself. They were the things that he desired for others. These things were prayed for out of realization of need. And they were prayed for out of a realization of God's sufficiency. Notice verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. He believed in the sufficiency of God to meet these requests. They were prayed for in faith. Verse 20, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. And they were prayed for with a proper motive. Unto him be glory. Unto God be glory. Now this particular prayer of Paul was for the church of Ephesus. And no doubt he often prayed for these things concerning himself. So we want to look at these things and examine ourselves. How often do we pray for these things? How often is this the theme of our prayers? The first request is that we would be, it is a prayer for inner strength. It says to be strengthened with might by His Spirit. That would be strengthened with the might of the Holy Spirit in the inner man. That should be our daily aspiration. That should be the daily prayer of every child of God. You may be hungry physically. You may be lacking physically. And you can pray, Lord, supply my needs this day. I need bread. I need clothes. I need finances. And nothing wrong with praying for those things. But as you pray that prayer, Lord, strengthen me in the inner man by your Spirit. You can pray for the sick, the diseased, that the Lord would raise them up. But you ought to also be praying that the Lord would give strength to the inner man. It is a prayer for the inner man. It is a prayer for the soul. A prayer for the soul to be made strong. It is a prayer that the soul would have the strength and the power and the ability that only the Holy Spirit of God can give. How often do we pray, Lord, strengthen me inwardly? Oh, we often find ourselves praying, Lord, remove this trial, remove this, take care of that. But how often do we find ourselves praying, Lord, strengthen my soul. Strengthen my soul. Oh, we can pray, Lord, help me to feel better. But how often do we pray, Lord, strengthen my soul? Again, what we pray for speaks loud and clear of where we place value. Speaks loud and clear what our aspirations are. So again, we need to examine ourselves. How often do we pray to be strengthened in the inner man? Paul prayed this same prayer basically for the church of Colossae in Colossians 1 and verse 11. He said, strengthen with all might according to His glorious power. And all might is connected to His glorious power. The child of God desperately at all times needs inner strength. But how often do we pray? God, give me the inner strength that I need. This is a prayer for a vigorous spiritual life. You can pray that the Lord would give you a job. That's fine. But don't forget to pray that God would give you a vigorous spiritual life. That ought to be the theme of our praying. Because the truth is this. You cannot serve God without this inner strength. So if you have any desire whatsoever to serve God, you need to pray that God would give you inner strength. You cannot perform your duties to God without this inner strength. You cannot bear the trials of life in a way that glorifies God without this inner strength. You cannot resist the temptations on a consistent basis. You cannot resist the temptations of Satan and the flesh without this inner strength. It needs to be our daily aspiration. It needs to be our daily prayer. Paul said in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 16, though our outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. That ought to be so of all of us. We're all dying. We're all getting closer to that day. And as we get older, we may not feel as well. And we see our health may start to decline. And we may not be able to do some of the things that we would like to do. But while the outward man is perishing, the inward man ought to be getting stronger every single day. And that ought to be our prayer. Strengthened by the Spirit of God in the inner man. This is a prayer for spiritual renewal. It is like the psalmist when he said, revive us again. That's what this inner strength is. It's a reviving from the Spirit of God. And we ought to be revived every single day. And every single day we ought to be praying for reviving of our own soul. Because the truth is, you're not going to be able to pray for others like you ought to unless you're strengthened in the inner man. Unless God gives you that strength, it ought to be our daily plea. And then Ephesians 3 verse 20, God is able to grant the request. Do you believe that? Consider that first request. Strengthened with might by the Spirit in the inner man. Then read verse 20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's able. He's able to strengthen our soul. And then we say, unto him be glory. That's the reason we ought to pray this prayer. Because the stronger we are inwardly, the more we glorify God. Secondly, there is a prayer for Christ-centeredness. Verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Again, it goes back to verse 14. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father. Goes back to verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory. That he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. Again, that ought to be our aspiration. It ought to be our daily prayer. It is a prayer for Christ-centeredness. It is a prayer for spiritual sight of Jesus Christ. It is a prayer for more knowledge of Christ. When was the last time you prayed? And if it wasn't right before you came into church, it's the wrong answer. Lord, give me more knowledge of Thee. How often do we find ourselves praying? Lord, give me knowledge. Give me knowledge of you. Show me yourself. Every time you open this book, you ought to pray that Christ would be manifested, that Christ would be unveiled, This here is a prayer for more enjoyment of Jesus Christ. It is a prayer for our heart to be occupied. When was the last time? How often do we pray? Lord, just cause my heart to be occupied with Thee this day. That needs to be our daily prayer. That needs to be our daily aspiration. For Christ to dwell in our hearts by faith is for Christ to have the chief place in our thoughts and in our affections. How often do we find ourselves praying that Christ would have the chief place in all of our thoughts, in all of our affections? It is a prayer that Christ would be the identity of our life. The focal point of our life, the center of our life, the emphasis of our life, the dominating factor of our life. How often do we find ourselves praying this second request? It ought to be every day. And again, God is able to grant the request, verse 20. And it ought to be for His glory. How often do you find yourself just asking God to give you a Christ-centered life, pleading with God for the Lord to give you a Christ-centered life? The theme of most prayers is pitiful today. It really is. It manifests the self-centered society that we live in. And it manifests how easily we get caught up in it all. We need to pray for strength in the inner man. We need to pray for Christ-centeredness. Verse 17 through 19, we see the third request. Ye being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted as a tree is in the soil, and grounded as a foundation for a building in love. It is a prayer for continual firmness in our love to the Lord. How often do you pray, Lord, help me to love you more? I hope there's no one here that thinks that you love the Lord enough. We all need to love Him more. Every single one of us. But how often do you pray, Lord, cause me to love you more? Cause me to love you more. I'm afraid many are already satisfied with the amount of love that they have for the Lord. But the truth is this: the more we love Him, the more we desire Him. The more we love Him, the more we desire to obey Him and put Him first. You see, when it comes to priorities, it's a matter of love. It's a matter of love. The more we love Him, the more we want to please Him. The more we love Him, the more we want to be near Him. The more time we want to spend with Him. The more we want to know Him, the more that we desire His will, the more we love Him, the more we want Him to have everything. And the more we love Him, we realize that we can never give enough. We need to pray, Lord, help me to love you more. Not only help me to love you more, Lord, cause me to love you more. The more we love Him, the more He, again, is a priority in our life. The more He becomes our purpose of living. The more that we love Him, the more He's our goal and our pattern. The more that we love Him, the more zealous we become for Him. And the more joyful it is to serve Him. It's a joy to serve someone that you love. And if it is not a joy to serve God, you're doing it wrong. And you have a wrong motive. And there's a lack of love included in this request, and this helps us to love him more, that we may be able to comprehend, that we may be able to comprehend his love for us. Lord, cause me to grasp your love for me. Lord, today cause me to lay hold of your love for me. Cause me to receive more fully, to understand more fully your love for me. Because you see, that gives us, that serves as an incentive to love him. We read in 1 John 4, verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. And the more we realize his love for us, the more you love him. We need to be praying that the Lord give us greater understanding, greater comprehension of the love of Christ. And that's an endless well. You'll never fully comprehend in this life the love of Christ. Never. But it's something we ought to gain more comprehension of every single day of our lives. And if that be so, if we're gaining more comprehension of Christ's love for us every day, and we're falling more in love with him every day, we're more and more ready every single day to go home. And we're more and more ready, we're not so tied down to this world. Because it becomes more and more about him. And we become more and more of a stranger to this world. And we fit in less and less and less every single day. And we find ourselves just getting tired of this world. If we love him more, that'll be the result. If we comprehend his love for us, then the more we'll love him. Again, that we might be able to comprehend and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge. Verse 20, now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. He's able. He's able to grant that request. Fourthly, latter part of verse 19, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Again, verse 16, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you might be filled. Notice it doesn't just say that you might be filled with the fullness of God, with all the fullness. It's emphasizing. If it's full, it's all. But he says, with all fullness of God. It is a prayer that our lives, everything about them, would be filled with God. That should be our aspiration. That should be our prayer. In this day when people are trying, God's people are trying to fit God in someplace, we ought to rather be praying, Lord, fill me. Fill up my life with yourself. It is a prayer to be filled with God himself. When was the last time you prayed that God would fill you with himself? That ought to be a prayer we pray every day. That's how we ought to begin our day. That God would fill us with himself. Fill us with all that God imparts. It is a fullness that flows from Him. To be filled with God. It is a prayer to be saturated with God. Lord, saturate my life with Yourself. Here's what most people do. God's people. They have compartments for everything. Work's over here, school's over here, home's here, recreation's here. Over here is God. That's all wrong. That's all wrong. God is to be everywhere. Everywhere. Everything is to be saturated with God. You cannot separate any area of your life from God. Our lives are to be saturated with the Lord. Filled with all the fullness of God. How full do you and I want to be of God? How much God do we want in our lives? Only you can answer that question between you and the Lord. But just how much of God do you want in your life? Do you want Him to saturate every single area of your life? Or are there certain areas that you keep separate from the Lord? We are to pray that God would so fill us that God would affect every part of our life, that it would affect everything that we do, every place that we go, to be saturated with the Lord. To be so saturated with God that it affects our earthly relationships. There's a lot of people you can't be friends with if your life's saturated with God. Well, I like them. I like being with them. If our lives were saturated with God, you know who you want to be with? Others whose lives are saturated with God. You know what that means? You won't have many friends. Because there's not that many folks out there whose lives are saturated with God. If you want to be popular, your life will not be saturated with God. That should not be what we aim for. Lord, You saturate me with Yourself. And if God saturates your life, He will bring people into your life who have that same desire, who have that same longing, who have that same aspiration. So saturated with God that it affects all of our pursuits. There's a lot of things that you could not pursue if God saturated your life. You just wouldn't do it. A lot of things that just wouldn't be important if God saturated our lives. For God to fill us with all fullness, everything that flows from God, to be filled with it. So much so that it affects the way we walk, the way we talk, the way we see things. Everything we see, we ought to see through the lens of God. So much filled with God that it affects the way we think and the way we spend our time. Really, this is a prayer not only to be filled with all the fullness of God, it's really a prayer to be emptied of self. Because you can't be filled with all the fullness of God unless you're emptied of self. That is something we need to pray every day. How often do we pray to be saturated with God? How often do you pray that your children would be saturated with God? Lord, if it means they have to take a job making minimum wage, but they'd be saturated with you, are you happy with that? You ought to be. Well, I want them to have a good paying job. That's fine. But not at the cost of being saturated with God. Your first desire ought to be that they be saturated with God. When we pray for others, we ought to pray these prayers. When we pray for ourselves, we ought to be praying for these things. So again, I ask, what is it that motivates us to pray? What has to happen for us to pray? What is it that finally brings us to really pray? That says a lot about us. It says a lot about who we are. It says a lot about where we put God. Is God just a fire escape? Is that the only time you go to Him? When you or somebody you love has a problem? That's what lost people do. Even a lost, ungodly man, when he's in a bind that he cannot get out of, he'll say, would you pray for me? Save his own hide. Many of God's people are just the same. What is the overall content of our praying? These things are an index to where we are spiritually. Again, in light of prayer, consider the question to Nehemiah. For what dost thou make request? If that question were to come to you tomorrow morning in an audible voice from God, for what dost thou make request? What would be the first thing you would request? What would it be? What would it be? Would it be something temporal? Or would it be something that would strengthen your soul? How often do we find ourselves praying the Holy Spirit of God would strengthen us inwardly? That needs to be our prayer. That needs to be the prayer for others. How often do we pray that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith, that He would be the center of our lives? How often do we pray, Lord, would you just cause me to love you more? You realize how many problems that would eliminate if we just love the Lord more? How often do we pray that God would just cause us to love Him more? That He would give us a greater understanding of God's love for us. How often in a day do you just stop and say, Lord, I love you? How often do you tell the Lord you love Him? You ought to tell your wife, you ought to tell your husband you love him, you ought to tell your spouse or your children. But oh, you ought to tell God every day, Lord, I love you. Help me to love you more. How often do we find ourselves praying that God would help us to love Him more? And then how often do we pray that God would just saturate our lives? That He would just so fill our lives. Again, we are to pray about everything. I'm not condemning praying for physical needs. I'm not at all. I'm not condemning praying for the health of others or the health of ourselves. We are to pray for those things. But we need to keep things in proper order. And the spiritual needs to be emphasized. Even when we're praying for the physical, the spiritual needs to be emphasized. You may be praying in regards to a particular trial, and you need to be praying, Lord, give me the inner strength. Lord, if it's not your will to remove this trial, you give me the inner strength to endure it. And Lord, that you would make Christ the center of my life. And Lord, that you would cause me to love you more. And cause me through this trial to understand your love more. And Lord, that you'd just fill me with all your fullness. Yeah, you can pray that God would take away the trial, but don't forget to pray those things. The emphasis needs to be upon the spiritual. And every now and then, we need to make close and honest examination of our prayer life, because it really is a gauge for our entire spiritual life. So I ask you tonight to examine carefully. What is it that you pray for the most? What is the theme of your praying? You know, if somebody is talking with you and every time they see you, they're talking about the same subject, just in different forms, but still the same subject. You know what conclusion you can safely come to? This is very important to them. This is very important to them. It's all they can talk about. That's also true of our prayers. What is it that's important to us? Comes out in our prayers. Brother Larry, if you'd come and lead us in verse song.